Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
Michael Vega.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Hey, 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 howdy, everybody. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox, our weekly show to rant about, rave about, and review the week in pop culture, LGBT news, and politics. It is Wednesday, March 8th. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is actually my first live show of the week. On Monday and Tuesday, Left the Straight Show. Monday, I had a Pride meeting in Pittsburgh. I'm helping out Pittsburgh Pride with some things and Youngstown Pride here. So I was out in Pittsburgh on Monday, so I pre-taped an early morning mixtape show where I put together some of my favorite artists and guests we've had on the show over the last year. And so it's really cool. You can download it. You don't have a free app yet. Go to on your iPhone or your Android or your tablet. Go into your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio. It's a spanking free app. You'll never miss an episode of any of our shows here. And I put together a pretty cool hour of mixtape, if I do say so myself. So that was on Monday. And then yesterday, I had Barry Goldstein, a great musician, as my guest scheduled. And my mom fell down and twisted her ankle. So I had to leave last second, take her to get some x-rays. But she is doing good, just a sprain. And she's kind of resting on it. But I had to cancel yesterday's show and postpone that too. So this is our first live show. So very excited. And let's get right to it. Introduce my very special co-host today. He's an actor, a writer, a radio host in his own right. He definitely has opinions on what's happening in the world. Love having him on. Please welcome to the show, Michael Vega. Michael, how the heck are you, man?
I'm doing all right, Scott. How are you?
I am doing okay. I've had one of those days. You know, you have a day. I'm having a day.
Oh, God, yes. Having a day. How was yours? How did yours begin?
It's horrible. Well, it started out, I get insomnia every once in a while, so I don't usually go to bed at 12:30. Went to bed around, 12:30 last night. Got insomnia at 4 o'clock this morning. I'm wide awake. So I've been up the entire morning and tired. But what? Are you a handyman? Are you pretty good around the house fixing things, doing stuff like that?
Oh, God, no. God, no. That's what I had a husband years ago for.
There you go.
You know, I'm the one who shops and cooks and feeds the dog. Nothing
I've
handy
always had,
here.
Exactly. I've had the boyfriend. I've had the roommate. I've had a great Rolodex with good names, numbers to call if I need something fixed, right? So Saturday morning, I need to go out somewhere. And, of course, I live in bumfuck northeast Ohio, so there's snow on the car because it's winter here. Just a little bit left over. It was a sunny day, but I took the little snow shovel and I kind of pushed it off the edge of my car. I was only on half my car. Put the snow shovel away, get in my car, and my remote, and I hit my remote and the garage door wouldn't go down. It's like, son of a gun. So it's like, I pressed it a couple times. I thought, oh, well, it's my battery. The battery's dead. I'll get a new battery. We have another car. So I went into the garage. I got the other clicker and brought it out. Same thing. The garage door is not closing. Like, okay, no, fine. No. So I try the wired one inside the house, and it goes down like a foot, and it comes back up. So I'm just frustrated. I don't know what to do. I go to pull on this little red thingy hanging on it. I release the latch so I can – I accidentally release the latch so I can close the garage door now at least. So I close the garage door, and it's a Saturday. Nobody's open. So I couldn't have – with everyone's schedule, my schedule, I couldn't have anyone out for today, right? So I get the guy to come out and fix my garage door today. I tell, swear to God, Michael, the guy's here for 2 seconds, picks up my snow shovel and puts it out from in front of the little laser switch that activates the garage door and says, okay, it's all fixed. And charged me $85.
And then he put a battery in the remote, and then it was fixed.
He didn't even need to. It worked fine. It wasn't the remote at all. It was I put the snow shovel right in front of the laser that crosses it. It's the activation for the up and down thing. I just blocked it.
Oh, my God.
Open. And he charged me $85. 85 freaking bucks to move my snow shovel.
Drive there in the snow.
Yeah, exactly.
At the point it did not go down is when I would have abandoned it completely. Just to, you know, the garage is staying open. That's the way it's going to be.
All right. Well, so that's my day so far. So I've spent $85 for no reason, and I'm tired as hell. But I am glad we're on to talk about all sorts of funky things going on in the news, because every time you turn around, it's just something, isn't it?
I'm overwhelmed. It's not comedic, but it kind of is. It's almost ridiculous. It's like an ongoing SNL sketch. You know,
it's crazy.
But
let's introduce the listening audience to you. And by the way, guys, if you want to call in, I see a couple of you out there. Feel free to call in. This is your show. We're going to talk about what interests us. If anything tickles your hot button this week, give us a call at 347-989-0126. You're able to hear the show on the phone until we can get to your calls. So feel free to call in. But, Michael, let's do a little background on you. I mean, I came across you, of course, on Alexander's show, great friend of the show. And it was funny because it's like, first time I saw an Alexander show, it's like, that guy is really cute. Where do I know him from? I know cute guys. Where is that guy from? You were in one of my all-time favorite movies, that Strapped movie. And I thought one of the most bizarre but cool movies I've ever seen. Where that little hooker guy stuck in the hotel.
Well, the funny thing is...
Go ahead.
You know, Joseph Graham is a great director, and he also wrote it. You know, as you know, I'm like in the final two, like maybe 30 seconds of the film, and he wanted me to be in more of the film, but because of my scheduling, I forget which stage show I was doing. I was like, Joseph, I just, you know, there's no way. But he found a way to sneak me in those final seconds, and he said, you know, it's a vital scene, and you know, so it's funny that you recognize me from those few seconds.
Funny because, and the funniest part is when I pulled up your bio and everything, your credit is that as a sexy man. It's like, okay, well, that's what I thought it was, not Danny, a sexy man. So that's very apropos. That's why I remember you from there. But if everyone want a little bit of your background, talk about where you're from and what got you into this business that is show out there in California.
Well, actually, I'm originally from the East Coast. You know, I grew up in New York and Jersey. And you know, I was always in theater.
Time theater. Uh-oh, you might just cut out. Nope. There you go.
You there?
Okay. Yeah, and you're back.
Okay.
You're back.
Okay. So it's something I always did as a kid, and then that's what I went to college for. And, you know, I let life sort of take me away from it. And, you know, when I moved, I was in New York City for 9/11, and that spawned a move. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And well, thankfully, you know, I didn't lose anybody and I didn't lose my life. You know, it was, but it did. It was a formative experience. And so my best at the time, we moved to San Francisco, and I decided, well, I'm not getting any younger. I need to start doing this. And that's when I just started auditioning. And I enrolled at ACT in San Francisco, American Conservatory Theater. And
nice.
It just started snowballing from there. And I just started going from show to show and, you know, just loving the stage. And then it branched out to doing, you know, a little straight to video film here and there, and, you know, a few commercials and stuff.
Gotta pay the rent, my friend. Gotta pay the rent.
Absolutely. And then I think I've been in LA for 6 years now. You know, I decided, you know, that it's time to sort of up the ante a little bit. Because, you know, in San Francisco, there's only so far you can really take, you know, an acting career. It's either New York or LA where you really, you know, can have it blossom. So, well, 6 years ago.
Yeah, people think LA is expensive. San Francisco is really expensive. Oh my God.
it's incredibly expensive. I mean, you know, it's I think more expensive than New York these days.
I think so. I think between New York, Boston, and San Francisco, I could never live in any of those places. It'd be my three favorite places to live, and I could never afford them to save my life because they are so pricey to live there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I you know, when you mentioned snow out there in Ohio, I love New York. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to go back two summers in a row, 2014 and 2015, and do a little show off Broadway. But I do not miss snow at all. To me,
I
snow
don't
is
either,
something
and
that,
I'm hearing it.
Oh, my God. Snow is something you go have fun in, and then you drive away from it. You know, you go skiing, you hang out, and then you leave it.
There you go. I mean, I tease because we really had two mild winters back here. Last winter, I only shoveled two times, and everything else, the snow melted away by itself. We didn't have that much. This year, I only had to do it three times, so it's really been two overall mild winters. But I forget about every time because I'm one of those weird guys where, like everyone else like you, who started out east here and moved to L.A., I grew up in California, Southern California for 29 years. I lived in L.A. for 29 years and have been banished to Northeast Ohio for the past 15. So it's pretty horrible.
Wow. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, to me, snow was, it would snow 3 or 4 feet, like literally, and school would be out. And, you know, it was just a mess. And I do not look fondly upon those days.
Let's dive into it. Let's go into the LGBT news. We'll start with that. And When We Rise showed last week, we talked a little bit about it last Wednesday because Tuesday was the first night of it, or Wednesday. Yeah, Monday was the first night, and Wednesday would be the second night of it, and it finished up on Friday. Remarkable series. I don't know if you got to see all four episodes or not, but that was filmed up in your area in San Francisco. Did you ever hang around that cast or area while you were there, of course, probably?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I do make a point, you know, I was in San Francisco for 8 years, so a lot of my, you know, best friends are still up there. So I try to make a point to go up every few months, just, you know, take a little road trip. And yeah. I mean, you know, all my friends up there and coworkers, they're like my family. So, you know, I'm forever connected to San Francisco.
Well, I thought it was a beautifully done miniseries. I mean, big hats off to Dustin Lance Black for writing it and creating it. Of course, he teamed up with Gus Van Sant, who directed the first episode, executive producer on it. I say all the time, I'm one of those old fart LGBT guys. It's like the young people don't know the history, and this had a lot of the history. And some of it was hard to see, but there's a lot of history involved there, and I think we need to know our history, especially with everything trying to roll it back these days. I was glad to see it happen.
Yeah, I find that there's not every young gay person here, but there's quite a few who just don't realize, you know, the struggle, you know, that many people had to get us where we are, so that the comfort that they have walking through the streets here in L.A., you know, just that, you know, took a long struggle and fight, and, you know, a lot of bloodshed, and you know, I wish, I'm thankful for this series to, you know, bring that to the forefront.
And you have kind of a personal connection to it too, don't you?
I do. One of the figures in there, Jose Saria, also known as Empress, the Widow Norton. I was fortunate enough to play him in an original play for Theater Rhinoceros. Is a theater, one of the oldest LGBTQ theaters in the country. You know, it was one of the first theaters to give, you know, our people a voice, you know, to present their works. And so John Fisher of Theater Rhinoceros wrote this play called Sex Rev or Sexual Revolution, the Jose Saria story, and three actors played sort of different aspects of him.
Okay.
And it was a hoot because he was so important. I mean, you know, he did drag. He was in the military. He did drag, sang opera at this bar called the Black Cats in San Francisco. There are pictures probably of me somewhere in Madame Butterfly drag and Carmen drag, just, you know, which I hats off to people who do it on a regular basis. I mean, theatrically, it was some of the hardest stuff for me to do, to, you know.
Can you imagine? A lot of my theater friends say that. It's like they can understand. They give it all to the drag queens, because even doing it in theater is pretty rough work 8 days a week. I couldn't imagine.
Oh, my God, Scott. Just my first pair of heels that I had to wear, I brought them home, and it was suggested to me that I start wearing them, you know, around the house. And the first night of just wearing them around, my lower back just wanted to give out on me.
Entire
body. It was amazing. But
that is crazy.
No, Jose was amazing, and he, fortunately, before his death, he was able to come see the show and really, really loved it. I mean, you know, some of the things that he did in San Francisco at that time, it was, it was illegal to present yourself, even as a drag queen, as a, somebody of the opposite sex. So, he got this thing started where, you know, they would wear buttons that said, I'm a boy. So even if they were in drag, you know, they weren't misrepresenting themselves. They're, you know, they're wearing this button saying, hey, you know, I am not, you can't arrest me. I'm not, you know.
It's a crazy time just seeing everything they went through. And I mean, I knew a lot about the movement back then, but just seeing it up front again, and you forget all the super stuff. You forget the Anita Bryant stuff. You forget about how devastating AIDS really was and how it really took the lesbians to step up into positions of power and political might, because that was mostly an LGBT front, or more the gay front in the beginning. And the lesbians really stepped up. They were more for women's rights at first, and they really kind of, when AIDS started happening, they stepped up. And I think it really showcased a lot of people that I didn't even really realize how important it was. So it was a learning thing for me too. And it was a rough first 3 days, but it really finished positively on the fourth day. And this was made last year before we thought Trump was going to get in. So I think it ended a little more positive than we're at right now in society. But I think they were hoping for a little better turnout. But we have what we have.
I don't think anybody really, really took it seriously for a while there. You know, it seemed to be a big, you know, inside joke. And here we are.
Dealing with the aftermath.
Seriously, and you know, I often as I talk about it, you know, people I know, and I don't necessarily fear for myself per se. You know, I fear for people I love. I fear for, you know, people close to me, young people. You know, that's what's important. You know, I'll get by. You know, I'm a man of certain years. You know, I'll be fine. So,
that's
not
the whole
about
thing.
Me.
I mean, when we're kind of cisgendered males, you're in the theater community where it's a lot more accepting. I'm basically a chubby white guy where no one really cares. I mean, it's not going to affect us as much, but those with the T's in their names and the B's that don't understand, I mean, that's where it kind of gets to be important. We figure out what these things are happening.
Yeah, and I think it's important to take it off yourself, you know, and not, you know, I find, you know, there's some people who just think if it's not about them, they don't have to care about it.
Right,
well,
and can't do that.
Apathy is just you know, the biggest enemy of humanity, I believe.
Yeah, and I think we're all learning that a new lesson. I mean, I think it slowly came about before. It was a while where we were LGBT for a long time, but the B's and the T's were never acknowledged at all. And then the B's had a little bit of resurgence, and now the T's are finally getting their day, and then everything's getting all rolled back at once, where it'll happen to everybody. So I think it's kind of, it's good that we kind of took that process to bring everyone together. So now as everything is kind of looking apart, we're noticing all four groups now. So now we can kind of step up for everybody, because it's not going to affect us as much, but it's going to affect some of our more vulnerable in our community. So that's absolutely.
I mean, I remember from my day, you know, in my teens, I didn't grow up in a very small town. I didn't even have the wherewithal to know what is
to work for up to 12.
That was my, I accidentally hit my remote. Sorry.
Okay. I'm like,
that's when,
okay,
when you're at the home studio and I have the TV up in the corner there, it's like, whoopsie, wrong button.
Well, thank God it wasn't porn.
I know, really. We would have had a whole new discussion to talk about there for a second.
Well, that might have been an interesting moment, but I am on my, my back patio, so.
Rub it in. That's fine.
Yeah, actually, I'm basking in the sun here, looking at my fig tree, and, well, it's not really fine, but.
That was the other part of my day-to-day, too. I get home, and it's trash day, and we have big plastic trash cans that go out in front of the house, and my trash can is gone. And there's three across the street in the neighbor's yard. I don't know which one is mine, but mine obviously blew across the street into one of my neighbor's yards. So I have to wait for them to bring theirs in to see which is the odd man out and find my trash can, because it's like windier than hell here today. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
All right, well, let's move on to a couple other things. One of the things I was interested in today, have you ever heard of this Deku TV or something? It's like a streaming service for gay web series.
I honestly, I do not. I'm not familiar.
I have not heard of it until, honestly, today, to be honest, or yesterday I heard about it. I know about Telofilms. Telofilms is a lesbian-owned theater company that does web series. I know that because, you know, yours and Alexander's friend Stan Zimmerman, his shows are on Telo a lot, and Terry Ray just put My Sister's So Gay onto Telofilms. So I knew about the lesbian one, Telo, and actually I support it. I pay $5 a month to stream all the things there. Well, I came across it because Jane Lynch, who I love, and I loved her way before Glee. I loved her in all of the old funny movies she used to do with that whole group of people. I only can't even think of their names right now. But,
oh, yeah, like Benson Show and, yeah.
Yes, exactly. All that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I've always loved her for a long time. She has put together
Christopher
a new
Guest
series.
Is he? Yeah.
Christopher Guest, thank you. That's why I couldn't think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
But yeah, he Christopher Guest always lines up all those people around him. Jane Lynch was just one of the hilarious, and Jennifer, is that Jennifer, not Jennifer Hudson, but Jennifer Coolidge.
Coolidge
I love,
yeah, yeah,
and all them. And yeah, well, Jane Lynch has put together a new series. It's a 10 minutes a piece episode web series called Dropping the Soap. And it's kind of like that Soap Dish. Remember Soap Dish with
Sally Field and Whoopi? And
right. So it's kind of a deal like this where she becomes an executive at this soap opera that's kind of going uphill. And it's playing on this new thing. It's called Deku. And I looked it up today. They have like 25 different web series. It's $9
really?
A month. Yeah, it's like, and I know as actors, that's the way most of the actors in LA are going now, because if you don't do your own stuff, you can't get hired anyway because there's only freaking competition out there. But there's
a lot of web series. I mean, creating your own content is so important. It's something I should probably get on the bandwagon with. When I first came to LA, I had dinner with, I'm not name dropping, but anyway, I had dinner with a friend of mine, Bruce Valanche, and I asked him, I said, you know, can you give me any sort of advice? I mean, I know you can't help me, but what would be your advice to a new person coming to LA? And he said, create your own vehicle. And
I think
that's
true.
That's, yeah, yeah.
That's where I get so many of my own guests, and it's really true. The hard part is you have to know the technical aspect for it, too. And I don't know where you're from, what your career is, if you like that backside and everything. Because acting promoting is an entirely different thing.
I love backside, but I'm a technical idiot. I really am.
Right.
And it's not so much I can't figure it out. Like, I was the person who never learned how to program his VCR. I mean, I'm dating myself now. His VCR. Not because I didn't want to read the manual, but I just didn't want to, you know? So
right,
it's something
right.
I have to force myself to, you know, I'm a creative, and I just don't want to know how to put this up there, but I really have to. I really have to just get off my backside and, you know.
Well, there's so
it.
Many good ones now, and like I said, this Deku looks like really cool. I'm really going to check it out, but we have Noam Ash does My Gay Roommate. He's a second season coming out. Of course, we said Terry Ray, a second season of My Sister's So Gay coming out. Next week on the show, I'm bringing Stan Zimmerman and his cast. He's doing a new show called Sex and Execs that looks to be really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the way to go these days, and it just it's pretty impressive. But like you said, you have to learn how to do all that camera work and the editing and things like that. That would be hard if I was a creative side. I don't know if I would want to have to learn all that. That's a big learning curve.
I mean, I just learned. There were some clips of the show I did 2015 in New York, and a few months ago, I learned how to put those clips onto a YouTube channel, and I was so proud of myself. I was so happy with myself. Like, look what I did, you know.
There you go.
And,
there you go.
You know, I think these days, like a 5-year-old could do that.
Oh yeah, it's amazing what the kids can do now. They know they're learning that stuff in preschool and kindergarten, how to edit a freaking video together. I don't know how to upload my stuff from my digital camera to my computer half the time, but they can do anything it takes.
I had to get someone to show me how to take autocorrect off my phone. Okay, it's bad.
All right, looks like we have a caller, so let's go ahead and pull a caller in with us. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Well, this is Alexander from On the Rocks Radio Show. Wah-wah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Alex.
Rodriguez, speak of the girl, the devil, the she-devil.
Speak of the devil.
In the flesh.
The hostess with the hostess, yes. How's everybody doing?
We are
doing,
all right. Good.
How are you, Beth?
Good. Did you talk to Michael Vega about his hangover this morning?
I haven't yet. Were you guys out playing last night?
A little bit.
Did you? Well, ask Alexander where he woke up this morning.
Oh, hush your face.
What? Oh,
No.
Anyway,
not like that. Wait, no.
It's soapbox.
This is from standing on my soapbox and standing on the dish soap because we're dishing it out today. Wait a second.
I have something to dish about. I don't know if you guys want to talk about it. Susan Sarandon.
Tell me about Susan Sarandon because I am on the fence over now. I used to love her to pieces, and now her politics have pissed me off a bit. So talk to us.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. You know, on my show, I don't discuss politics at all. I'll make a Trump joke every now and then. But Susan Sarandon has been so politically out there, whether you agree with her or not, you cannot think about her without her politics now. And, you know, Feud premiered this last week on FX, Ryan Murphy's. Amazing story. Jessica Lange plays Joan Crawford. Susan Sarandon plays Betty Davis. I cannot get past her politics to appreciate her performance. And so,
I wanted to ask you about that because I had not seen the whole show. I saw the first 20 minutes of it, and I love the opening. The opening is very film noir and everything, but
it is so film noir.
Tell me about it.
Feud is great. You know, it covers the period of time when Joan Crawford and Betty Davis were trying to resurrect their career with whatever happened to Baby Jane, the film. Detail that Ryan Murphy has put into this show is unbelievable. From the backstories to the sets, everything looks amazing and messes it up.
Your era, too. You got to love all the people in this, right, Alexander?
Tucci is in it. Kathy Bates. Catherine Zeta-Jones is in it. I mean, it's a great, amazing cast. But I wanted to talk, what do you guys think about artists being political? You know, we know that Meryl Streep took time out for her Life Acceptance Award to talk about Trump and all that. What do you guys think about artists having a political voice?
I mean,
I think it's to
be expected because, you know, as artists, we look to them, you know, for so many other things. You know, people idolize them or, you know, admire them, inspire them. So, you know, they're human, and if they have a voice and a platform, I don't see why not. I do think when it's contrary to, say, the project you're working on, that's a gray area to me that I haven't really given too much thought. I mean, she's on a show that's essentially very, very LGBTQ, you know, based, and I too can't get past watching her. I can't take her away from the politics, like you said. So
yeah, and that's exactly, and it's ruining the whole piece.
That's where I'm at. That's why I kind of stopped in the first 15 minutes because I'm in the same. Like I kind of put Meryl Streep as a one off. I mean, it's one time at a
she's in a world all of her own. She's in a different category.
Right, I don't think of her saying it all the time. But Susan Sarandon has just been inundated. She campaigned for Bernie Sanders. She was pretty virulent against Hillary, which is fine. I don't care what calendar you're for. It wasn't mine.
Yeah,
that's
you
fine.
Can have your
but
own
then
voice.
Afterwards,
yeah.
Now she's still militant on the pipeline. She came on. I watch MSNBC quite a bit because I'm a pretty big political junkie, you know. And she came on last week, just like vilified the guy that we weren't doing enough for the Trump for the oil Trump or the oil pipeline and this and that, and it's
right.
She's become so political that that's all I think of her more as a political activist now than as an actress. And she's always been political, but I never thought that way until this past year.
But here's
right.
the thing, if actors can run for office and get elected by the people, then why shouldn't they have an opinion? I mean, we have Reagan, Schwarzenegger, now Trump. I mean, if
yeah,
we're going to elect
them,
then how
there's a difference about having an opinion and really campaigning. I have her in campaign
exactly
mode
right.
in my head. I don't have her in actress mode in my head. I have her in campaign mode. so it's kind of weird.
And I think that she's committed career suicide.
I don't know about that, and it's possible, but it's like I really can't see her in this role because, like I said, I remember her and Tim Robbins when they were together. They were activists back in the day, but it was cool. They kind of did it on their off time, and it popped up
right.
from here and there. But it wasn't down.
And it was more general. Like they were fighting for education or equal rights.
Right.
She is very pointed now, and she's attacking people very pointedly. And
yeah.
I think that's all of a sudden it's like, okay.
Well, I think that's
going to be interesting. Have you seen any
ratings
information, Alexander, at all, how the first night went?
Ratings were good. It's getting rave reviews. They'll probably both be nominated. You know, Ryan Murphy knows his audience. We know from American Horror Story. You know, this isn't, like you said, it's an LGBT-minded show. So there's a built-in audience for it. It's a very smart move, and it's beautifully done. So I think there's 8 episodes to the season, and I think it's going to have a good run. But I'm not sure if she would have been chosen if they were casting it today.
Right.
Mm. True.
But you were talking last night, too, on your show about how prolific
I
Ryan Murphy has been in the television area. Ryan Murphy is the go-to guy in television anymore, right?
I mean, Ryan Murphy he can do no wrong at this point. He's like what M. Night Shyamalan was to movies when he first started. You know, whatever he wants to do, he's going to do. Like when he came out and said, hey, I'm going to do an O.J. Simpson show, everybody was like, what? How dumb. And then it was one of the best TV shows on TV, some of the best acting around, and it swept all of the awards. So basically he can do no wrong, even though American Horror Story, in my opinion, has diminished over the last couple of seasons.
You think? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
I really enjoy it no matter what. I mean, it's so to me like it's got a soap opera quality that I really love. And he writes relationships really, really well.
Yes.
I don't know.
understands women characters extremely well, whether that's because he's a gay man or he was raised by a house full of women. He has his pulse on a woman's personality, feelings, emotions.
Right. Absolutely. And that to me is more interesting than the horror part. I think the horror part is sometimes taken too seriously. Yeah.
Right.
But he gets
right.
some good actors to go in there, that's for darn sure, with Matthew Bomer and Gaga and everything like that. He knows his audience. He reads his audience well.
Everybody wants to work with him. I mean, he's the it guy. And he's made a star out of Sarah Paulson. I mean, how many more awards can Sarah Paulson win? Jessica Lange is now on everybody's lips because of the show, you know.
True. Very, very true.
Anyway, that's
my
contribution to Soapbox.
I appreciate you calling in and catching us up on FX. Tell all the listeners where they can see your show every and where they can follow you, because they all know you're one of my favorites to listen to every week. But give them one.
And I think you do a great job. I'm a huge fan of the show. Your listeners can find me every Tuesday live at 7 p.m. on the Rocks Radio Show, where celebrities and cocktails mix. UBNRadio.com. I'm on iHeartRadio, Reverie, True FM. In fact, Scott, you and I are both together on True FM. And I'm going to be coming out to Ohio this summer.
I'm excited about it. All right, we'll stay on the line, Alexander. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We're going to have Michael and I back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take our first break here, talk a little bit more about politics, LGBT news, pop culture. If you want to chime in, you can give us a call right here at 347-989-0126. Here's a little bit of Rise from the guys at Superfruit, Mitch and Scott Hoying, along with Brian Justin Crum. This is Rise. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I won't justify. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I know it.
All righty, we are back. That is Brian, Justin Crum, Scott Hoying, and Mitch DeGrassi of Pentatonix, and a couple of their friends doing Katy Perry's Rise. We're back today with writer, actor, and radio host himself, Michael Vega. How are we doing, Michael? Hanging in there?
I'm doing all right.
How's the beautiful
that
sunshine of L.A.?
Incredible. Oh,
isn't that great?
That song was incredible. Yeah.
I love acapella. I'm an acapella fan anyway, but these guys are just crazy. Pentatonix is like, I've gone and seen two of their shows already. I just think they are amazing. Crazy stuff.
I have chills right now. That was so incredible.
All right. Well, thanks, Alexander, for calling in. We got to talk about a few of what's going on. What else do we have going in pop culture? Do you have time to watch TV? I mean, you're always out either auditioning or acting or working your day job to help pay the bills. Do you watch much TV at all?
I do mostly like Netflix, Hulu, that sort of thing. I don't keep regular cable because I don't watch it enough. So generally when I'm watching stuff, it's, you know, I'm sitting up in my bed with my laptop on my lap, where a laptop goes. So regular network TV, no, but I do catch it when it, you know, when things have runs on, you know, Netflix, Hulu, and that sort of thing.
This is a big week for me. We have new show this season, Designated Survivor. It's a new Kiefer Sutherland flick where he it's a great show. He ends up being the president of the United States when the Capitol gets bombed. He's the kind of person you always hear them putting a designated survivor somewhere off the Capitol when they have those big speeches and everything. Well, I guess the Capitol gets blown up, but he turns out to be the president. It's a great political thriller on ABC. I think it's ABC.
Oh, wow.
I hope I say that right. But it's been on hiatus for 3 months, driving me crazy. And because someone's just about to get assassinated from when they left off.
Oh,
so that comes back tonight. I'm excited for that. I've been a huge fan of the Vampire Diaries from way back when, because I've always liked the guy that plays David was on Lost. I forget his name now. But the real cute guy of Vampire Diaries. They're finishing up their last season Friday. And then have you heard of Shadowhunters? You ever seen?
No. Tell me about it.
Oh, my goodness. This is such a great show. It's done off the I think the movie was called The Mortal Instruments or something, kind of a sci-fi-ish type show. And it has all of the – I like all the sci-fi stuff. It has the Downworlders, which are like the werewolves and the vampires. And then they have the Shadows, which are like kind of half angels that are like – they fight the demons and things like this. And it was a movie, and they turned it into a TV series, and it has one of the most gorgeous men in history playing against Harry Shrum from Glee. Harry Shrum plays a warlock, and this other guy's a shadow hunter, and they are the gay love story in this movie, and it's been done so well. But the whole TV series has been done really well. But
what network or where is it streaming?
It is on Network. It's on that Freeform network. It used to be ABC Family or something. Now it's called Freeform.
Okay.
So they do have it on the web. It is on the web. But if you like the sci-fi kind of stuff, look under Shadowhunters.
I do.
This, like I said, the lead, Matthew Daddario, is like the most handsome man on the planet. But it's just a great show.
I'll be the judge of that.
There you go. Well, you would know because you are the second handsomest man on the planet. But no, it's just a great show. I think if you like that kind of stuff, you would like it. I really like it. It has all the sword play and the demons and the werewolves going against the warlocks, going against the vampires.
I really do.
It's just a fun show. It's a fun show.
One little unknown thing about me that a lot of people don't know, I'm a huge geek. I'm a comic book collector. Since I was a little kid, and yeah. But so I love
you're
that,
not going to be best friends, I can tell. We're going to be best friends. That's me. I'm so totally into all that stuff.
One of my biggest joys is to go weekly. Do it.
you go what now? One of your biggest joys is doing what?
To go to my comic shop weekly. And, you know, just.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to sprint when I come out to L.A. in a couple. I'm going to be in L.A. in 3 weeks. Can you believe it? When I come out to L.A. weeks. I'm going to bring – I had some guests on the show a couple weeks back. She is a telenovela star, and she's also done a lot of episodic TV. but her and her fiance, who was a huge comic book geek and an actor, they put together this, they started their own comic book graphic novel series, and they have two episodes mm-hmm. out so far, and it's called Twilight Sucks, and it's basically vigilante vampires, and they only feed on bad people. And so they have all these telenovela soap stars as the inspiration for the characters. They're kind of drawn like them. And each one takes on a different thing. And they have this guy, Max, that takes on equality. And he, like, feeds off everyone that goes against LGBT and everyone's unequal. They have people against women and people against homeless and things like that. It's a really fun comic series. And it's drawn really, really well.
Ideas.
I'll have to bring that out to you.
Bloody, yeah, fun, I want to suck your blood.
There you go. But only if you're a mean bad guy. So it's funny.
Yeah,
it's really
yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right, what's next? Anything on your agenda? I'm trying to look over my stuff. Anything hitting your hot button this week?
You know, I'm just trying to make sense of everything that's going on politically. I mean, like we were saying, every time I, you know, you put on the news or I just open my Facebook, it's just, you know, all these behind the scenes bills and things that are, you know, they're trying to get instituted. It's just, I can't wrap my mind around the idea that there's an entire party, that there's so many people who want to do so many things that are detrimental to the planet, to the people, to children. I mean, you know, between educational cuts and damage to the EPA, et cetera. I just, it just confounds me. I just don't know what to do with it anymore.
It's really horrible. They're saying that it's all that Steve Bannon guy. I guess when he was on, he went to that CPAC place, that big religious conference conservatives put on every year.
Yeah.
And he basically said that his goal is to dismantle all the government departments so it's more for the people. And that's what they're doing. They're going in there and they're cutting EPA like crazy. I mean, education, I know, is close to your heart. I've seen you tweet or post on Facebook about it. We have DeVossa there that's about vouchers that never even set foot in a public school before. And it's crazy.
Well, I mean, this is how you control the masses. You know, you keep them sick. You keep them dumb. You know, you take away education. You take away, you know, help the ability to get health insurance, you know,
right.
And questioning, you know, you have Trump here saying, hey, don't question me, you know, whatever I say
right.
goes, man. So, you know, that's how you control people. And, you know, we have to continue fighting and resisting, you know, can't let
this is
happen.
What I hate. I mean, they rolled out a new health thing today. And the thing that drives me up a tree, they say it, all they'll say about it. And they do this. The one thing I'll say about the Republican Party is they are some of the greatest spinmeisters I've ever seen, the way they kind of spin stuff around to make it obfuscated so you can't really understand what they're saying. But they keep saying, we're bringing you all these choices so you can – we're letting you now get the choices that you want. You get to pick what you want. What they're really saying is you can pick what you want, but you can probably only afford the small tier one. So if you're poor, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And if you're rich, you can pick. Up here, they don't tell the whole story, which is what drives me up a tree.
Oh no,
it's like crazy.
And, you know, the lack. I mean, I think one of the ways to stay vigilant is to stay informed and to inform, you know, our friends or, you know, our loved ones. You know, people who are sort of in the dark about the ins and outs and the details of this stuff. You know, because a lot of people just rely on the little sound bites they get from their social media, and don't. You know, have the wherewithal to look into it, do the research. You know, what confounds me is, you know, we carry around these little devices that basically have every little bit of information out there, but so many people don't use them for that. You know,
right.
It's just, oh, I'm tweeting a picture and look at this, you know, look at my breakfast. And it's like, no, look shit up. You know?
And what about these tweets? I mean, the guy has no filter, no control. They need to take away his phone. I mean, it's gotten embarrassing now.
It's pathetic. I don't understand how people can think that this is somehow how a president should act. I mean, he's like a petulant child.
I mean, how you go from one second saying the president wiretapped my phone to the next second saying Arnold Schwarzenegger got fired, they would have never fired me from The Apprentice. It's like, come on, are you kidding me? Off the same Twitter feed, you're going to go those different directions? It's like, what are you?
I was just reading, there was a press conference with that idiot Spicer, and a reporter asked him, you know, if Trump supposedly has the information, if he supposedly knows that there was wiretapping, why does he need an investigation?
Exactly.
Those two things,
right.
You know, if you know, then why do you need, you know, why do you need somebody to look into it? And,
I
know, of course,
it happened, but I want you to
go prove it
for me. Because I want you to go prove it for me. I know it happened, but it's up to you to go prove it. Waste your time.
Exactly.
Do it.
Absolutely no sense.
The only people that are being helped by this presidential team is Saturday Night Live, as far as I'm concerned. They're the only ones that are getting a boost out of any of this.
Seriously. Hey, that's one thing he did make good again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they did really good on that. But yeah, we have the travel ban is the new thing. And like you say, they contradict themselves so bad. It's like this first travel ban, oh, these courts were overreaching. Our first travel ban was so good, and it wasn't a ban. It was this. Then the second one's out, and it's like, well, yeah, we didn't do half the stuff in the first one, so the first one really kind of sucked. We're never going to tell you that, but we did the second one to make it a little more palatable for everybody. And it's like
talking that, you know, I sometimes wonder if people realize that Muslim is not a race. Muslim is not people from a certain, I mean, you're banning people of certain faith.
Right.
And that is, I mean, again, it is ridiculous to begin with. But the fact is you're banning, you know, people
it's just amazing.
Can't you just smell them?
I was really bummed that I missed, because that's one place I've never been, to Washington, D.C. Have you been to Washington, D.C. before?
I have. You know, going to grade school and high school in New Jersey, we would take, there'd be class trips. So I've been there a few times. Not as an adult, though, but I've seen, you know, all the monuments.
I've never been to D.C.,
and
the former mayor of where I'm living here in Northeast Ohio, I was good friends with here because my business was downtown and everything, and so I knew all the downtown people and worked with the mayor and a lot of stuff. And he ended up being one of Obama's undersecretaries of something. And I always kicked myself. I never got to go there and take a tour. He was still the undersecretary. That would have been so cool. But I couldn't go to Washington with a 10-foot pole right now. Which is, I have
oh,
no
God,
desire.
No. I mean, right. No tours of the White House at this point.
Clown circus. That's all it is. It's crazy.
You know, this is sort of, I mean, it's on track, but off the beaten track. But it annoys me, but it's not that important. So the wife, you know, if we were back to our great last.
Right.
But you broke up. There. Hello.
Yeah, you're back. You're back. You broke up for 1 second. You came back quick. You're good.
Oh, sorry. But she's basically absent from the media, and there's not a whisper about it. Not that I care.
No.
But it's just that to me is a prime example of you know, the contradiction and the hypocrisy.
Well, yeah, and just the fact that he is going to his Florida estate every weekend almost, $10 million a trip. I mean,
he has
no place to even talk about wasting. With, I guess they said, with Melania staying in New York while their son is graduating supposedly, and that may even be extended, it's $500,000 a day, $1 million every other day for the Secret Service and everything to guard Trump Plaza. And weekend's trips to Florida are costing $10 million every weekend. I mean, I can't believe they're putting out that kind of money, and then they're trying to say that the country's going broke and that everything's busted in Washington, but they're going
to
make us
We have to stop giving kids, you know, a school lunch because that's really, you know, those slices of frozen pizza are breaking the country.
Exactly. It's insane. Oh. Just insane. All right. Well, we only have about 5 minutes left because I know you have things that you have to do out in L.A. wise. Let's go back to two kind of funny things that I saw in LGBT news. One, can you believe all the backlash Beauty and the Beast is getting to their LaFoe gay character? Have you even heard about
this? Oh, my God. Yeah, I have. But yet they're perfectly fine with, you know, bestiality.
Exactly. How funny is that? It's like they don't mention the Beast at all, but the gay guy is bad, but that she's in love with the Beast, and she wouldn't care if he changed or not. That's a good thing. But, oh, my God, it's so funny.
Love.
People are losing their minds over this. It's just
crazy. I mean, the whole point of the story is that love is colorblind. Love is, you know, basically, you love who you love. That's the
so well
fucking,
well
you know, the bit of the story. But yet, because
crazy.
It doesn't serve my idea of what love is, then, you know, it must be bad.
I just love that it's Josh Gad, a big teddy bear guy married with kids that played Olaf as the snowman, is the one that's going to be getting all this grief, the poor guy. He's going to have to personify this. I'm sure it rolls off his back, but it's just that he personifies all this. It's so sad. It's crazy.
I mean, sometimes bad press is, you know, is okay. Cause people
there
now know
go.
His name and they'll probably get more work because of it. You know,
this is true.
That name is a minor, you know, character is now brought to the forefront.
I want to see it. I want to see the movie. I want to see it now just because of the controversy. Before, I wasn't really I like Disney. I'm a Disney fan, but I'm not a huge cartoon fan, even though they're so good anymore. I just don't see a lot of them. I really have to want to see it. But this one's live action. I probably would have seen it anyway. But now I really want to see it just because of all the hubbub about it. I think
I hear it's good, it's beautiful, but you know, it just basically is exactly what you saw in the cartoon. There's nothing really not too much added, not too much taken away. So if you love the fully animated version, then, you know, go see it.
There you go. All right, we're going to finish tonight on kind of an odd story. This was in the news a while back, and I just find it kind of funny. But Richard Simmons, we all know good old Richard Simmons, right? Or sweating to the oldies, right?
Of course.
He has been missing in action for about 2.5 years now. And I remember like a year ago or something, I heard tell of his housekeeper's kidnapped him in his own mansion or something like
that.
And I don't know what the story is. It's really kind of a bizarre thing. Nobody's seen him, and everyone says that he's kind of being held against his will.
I've been here for a few years, and I know people, he had a sort of drop in exercise class in Beverly Hills, but I didn't realize that, you know, he's been missing for two plus years.
He has, and the funny thing is that's what's happened now. These two people that took his class at his Beverly Hills fitness studio he had, they saw him kind of slowly going away and then not being himself at there. And so they decided 2 weeks ago to put a podcast together called Missing Richard Simmons. And they've had three episodes wondering what's happened to him, and it's the number one podcast on iTunes right now. How crazy is that?
God.
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
I hope it's not true
because
okay,
he's a funny guy. Yeah, exactly. You hope he's okay, but it's kind of funny, you know?
It really is. Well, that sparks some
Richard
ideas
Simmons.
For content for me.
Exactly. There you go. Well, Michael Vega, it's been my pleasure having you today. You're going to have to come back many more times and stand on my soapbox with me, my friend.
I would love to. This is so much fun, Scott.
Well, I'm going to be out in L.A. in a couple of weeks. We're going to get to hang out in person and drop back a cocktail or two. Tell my listeners where they can follow you on social media.
I'm at Michael Vega Act. That's my Instagram. So my name, MichaelVegaAct. And that's Instagram and Twitter.
Very, very cool.
And I think that begins with an at. You know?
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for standing on Soapbox. Wish I would call. I see the people out there. I can see you out there. I see people on the thing there. But we appreciate you calling. We'll be back next, like I said, next Monday and Tuesday on the Left of Straight show. I have some great guests. I have Tom Goss, the singer. I got Stan Zimmerman and Kristen from Tello Films and Stan's new show, Sex and Execs. It has the hilarious Mindy Sterling from Austin Powers on. Next Wednesday, Standing on My Soapbox, will be Ryan Kaplan out in L.A. He's wrote a great a movie we're going to be talking about. But Michael Vega, stay on the line. We're going to close out, guys, to Rabble's 11 Blocks. This is Standing on My Soapbox. We'll see you next week.
11 blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later and it feels too close. I thought I broke the last of that breakdown the morning I sold your winter coat. It doesn't feel right when I'm grabbing a coffee. The same old spot, but I'm on my own. Feel okay in the day, but at night time, you know how I get when I'm alone. 'Cause my mind won't stop, Mr. myself counting on the way. Right when I stepped in the door to the party, I stepped outside to grab a smoke. You know how I get when I'm alone, no. 'Cause my mind won't stop, Mr.
Thanks for listening to Standing on My Soapbox, brought to you each week right here on the Left of Straight Radio Network. For sponsorship and advertising opportunities, check out our website at www.leftofstraightradio.com. Join us here every week and be sure to download our free app at your iPhone or Android App Store. Just search for Left of Straight Radio, and good night.